Last week we looked at 5 and 6, and 6 ends with in the middle of a sentence. And we're going to finish the sentence this morning, Lord willing. Verse 5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due times, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Aren't you glad for that? Would you think about just for a moment, if you would, how many hymns talk about God's care for you? In our hymn book, hymn number 100, "He cares for you." 104, "He walks beside me." 489, "All your anxiety, all your cares, leave at the mercy seat." 448, "Day by day, with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my struggles here." 487, "God will take care of you." Hymn number 88, "He comforts us." 491, "Does Jesus care?" 117, "No one understands like Jesus." 95, "No one ever cared for me." 87, "Under his wings." 89, "All the way my Savior leads me." We could keep going. I just told Pastor Brewer to give me 10. It took him about 3 minutes to get that email to me or something like that. I mean, there are a lot of texts that talk about Jesus' care for us. Peter probably had in mind Psalms 55 and verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." That word "moved" means to shake or to slip or to totter. He's firmly planted. And the simple truth this morning that I want us to see as we look at this text of Scripture is we must not worry about anything, because he is in control. Now that's much easier said when things are going well, isn't it? I mean, it's much easier to do when everything's going right and you've got your health and you've got a good job and you've got everything. I mean, that's far easier to talk about. But the fact is, and this is something important for us to understand, part of our humility is casting our care upon him. The reverse is also true. Part of our pride is that we think we can handle it, and so we cling on to it. We want to worry about it. We want to take care of it. And that's just part of our pride. That's why this sentence is together. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How do I do that? Partly by casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Simply this morning, I want us to look at the casting. What does that mean, and how do we do that? Then we'll look at the care. What is the word care? And then we'll look at the caring. Who's doing the caring? And is he capable of anything that we cast upon him? It's pretty important for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and how important it is for us. We need it. We're so easy to pick up worry and anxiety. And I pray that you'd help us this morning to be able to do exactly what this text says. In your name we pray. Amen. First off, the casting. Casting our care upon God subjects ourselves, and get this, deliberately to God's sovereign rule. In other words, casting our care on him says, God, you're in control, and I'm going to let you have that control. You're like, well, Pastor, I mean, he's in control whether I let him or not. That's true. But how it affects you is different. He is in control, and he is going to be in control. But what do you do with that? Do you actually let him have control, or are you trying to control it? I don't know about you, but every time I try to control something, it's kind of worthless anyway, right? It's like you can't really make that happen anyway. But it's so easy for us to do. Casting literally means to throw upon or to place upon. Just give it to him. This is a trusting of oneself and troubles completely to God. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 30 says, "And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed him. This is the same word here. He put him at his feet and said, Jesus, take care of him. In this case, Jesus was able to physically heal them. They knew if they could get them to Jesus, he would help them. Help doesn't always mean solving the problem, because sometimes God wants us to deal with the problem. Sometimes he wants us to go through the difficulty. He just doesn't want us to worry about it. By the way, it says casting. It's the next three-letter word. It says all, doesn't it? Doesn't say part. Doesn't say most of it. It doesn't say some of it. Doesn't say the things I think I can't handle. It says all. You want to know what that word means? Each and every one or everything, individually and all together. Pretty much is all-encompassing, isn't it? In other words, we're to lay everything there. I love what one author said. He said, confident reliance on his goodness and exemption from care. In other words, I know God's good. I'm going to let him have it, and I'm going to let him completely have it. I'm not even going to care about it at all. Now, that's difficult to do. Now, let me give you an illustration this morning, okay? I've sat in this chair a number of times, so it's not exactly the same. But casting your care upon God is literally to put your full weight on. That's the idea, okay? Now, if this chair was some chairs that I know of, that confidence would be less placed, I guess we could say, right? I've been in some chairs, I'm like, I'm not sure that's going to hold, you know, or whatever. Now, I'm not guaranteed that this chair is going to, and I'm certainly not saying this chair is equivalent to God, because God's far bigger than that, okay? But when I sit in this chair, if I sit like, that's the way some of us do our care, doesn't it? It's like, well, God, never mind, God. Well, yeah, okay, never mind. Okay, God, you can have it. No, you can't have it. That's the way we do it, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but that's the way I do it sometimes, right? We want to grab it back and take it back in control when God says, hey, just let me have it. It's all mine anyway. What do you do with your worries and with your cares and with your anxiety? Like, I don't do anything with them. Yes, you do. We all do something with them. The question is, what are we doing with it? The casting. But let's look at the care. This word care means an anxiety. The root idea is those things that would be a distraction or that would divide our heart. Now that's interesting. Let me say that again. The root idea behind this word is that which would be a distraction or would divide our heart. Do you have something distracting you? Do you have something dividing your heart? You know, it's easy when we're burdened with something, when we've got some anxiety on us, for that to cause our heart to be divided. We're not fully focused on God. We're focused on this problem. Instead of really letting Jesus do that. I want you to take your Bibles quickly with me and hold your finger here, but turn back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, Peter is writing the text in 1 Peter, but he was probably present at this Matthew 6 teaching. Of course, you know Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. And we're not going to work through all of this passage of Scripture, but let me read some verses with you. And do you think maybe Peter might have had this in mind as he was thinking about, hey, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Isn't that a powerful verse? My flowers are doing really well this year. And one, I was walking the other day, and I got, it's a little bud. It's not even the end of my finger. I mean, it's probably half that. And it was just starting to open up. And that thing from the inside just blossomed, and it literally turned inside out. It's probably the size of my hand now, and it's bright yellow and absolutely gorgeous. God says, consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. That flower didn't go, I got to bear this flower, and if it doesn't work, I'm in trouble. It just does what God has for it to do, right? Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? After all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. In other words, God says, I've got it. Don't worry about it. I love, if we were just to take this and kind of work through it, Jesus says, don't worry about your physical needs. In the big picture, it's really not that important. And God knows anyway. God knows if you're hungry. And ultimately, you're not going to survive anyway. So it's really not that big of a deal. Don't worry about your physical features. You can't change those either. Nothing you can do about it. I'd love to have been taller. That wasn't in the books. Not going to happen. It limited some things. I didn't start on my high school basketball team, for one, I can tell you that. First time I ever shot a basketball in a basketball game, I shot a granny shot. Yep. I was that little. Some of you are like, I don't even know what that is. Right. It was pretty embarrassing for a young man, I can tell you that. Don't worry about your future. Tomorrow has its own set of troubles, and you can't change it anyway. In other words, what he's saying is pursue God, and everything else falls into place. Just pursue God. Matter of fact, if we went back to that passage, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added unto you. God knows exactly what he's doing. I love what one person says. Anxiety tends so to distract and to divide the mind that it perverts wholehearted devotion. In other words, if you're carrying anxiety and worry, you can't love God with all your soul and mind and might and so forth. That's impossible to do. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Worry can make you double-minded or have a divided heart, and that leads to instability in all kinds of areas. Now, this is interesting. Peter, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He is not saying your troubles per se, but your worry about them. He's not saying that if you cast this trouble, it's going to be taken care of. He's saying cast the worry about it. What do you think these people worried about? Do you think they might have been worried a little bit about Nero? Do you think they might have wondered the next knock on their door might have been for them to be burned at the stake? That was a very real reality for these people that Peter's writing to. And so he says, don't worry about it. Care is a burden which faith casts off the man and on his God. Just let God have it. Well, how can I do that? Well, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Well, how do I do it? Talk to God about it. Talk to God about it. Say, God, it's yours. Don't be troubled with care. In other words, we could say it this way, and I think this would be a great thing. Use your worry and anxiety as a springboard to prayer. Every time you come up with a worry, it's like, oh, man, what am I going to do about that? Well, I got a doctor's appointment. Oh, man, that bill's coming due. Oh, use it as a springboard to prayer. God, I'm grateful you're the great physician. I don't really have to worry about what the doctor's going to say because you already got it all under control. Lord, you know that bill's coming, and I don't have the money in the bank account, and the next paycheck's already due for rent and this. And God, if you don't pay it, Lord, I don't know where that bill's coming from. I don't know where the school bill's coming from. God, I got to buy books for school. I'm not sure where that's coming from. Every time you go to worry about it, just pray about it. Someone says worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do but doesn't take you anywhere. It's true. Do you have worry today? Are you distracted or divided because of that worry? Do you just take these things to God in prayer and let Him have them? Now, I illustrated a while ago, but this is true. It's easy for us to say, God, today I'm going to give you this. I can't change it anyway. I'm just going to let you have it. And then walk away with it on our back. And you're like, no, no. I said I'm going to give it to you. And the truth is, you may have to do that throughout the day. You may have to do it repeatedly. God, nope, it's yours. I've been praying about something that I'm worried about and trying to give it to God, and in the midst of my praying, I find I'm worried about it. Isn't our flesh devious? It's just like, ugh. No, let God have it. He can care for it. And that leads us to the caring, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You ever think about that? I mean, we're not just talking about somebody out there caring for you. We're talking about God. We're talking about the God of the universe. The God that spoke this world into existence. He cares about you. That's what the word careth means, to care about. And by the way, it's a simple statement of fact. It is true. He does care. Does Jesus care? You better believe it. I love this. This is something I did not know about this word until studying this. This word suggests the kind of care that comes from having an interest in someone and a care that includes forethought. You're like, well, what does that mean? That means God was caring about it before you even knew you needed to care about it. Pretty powerful, isn't it? By the way, it's also a care that's coupled with the ability to do something about it. He careth for you. In other words, when it says He careth for you, not only did He know about it and He knew about it long before you knew about it, but He actually can do something about it, which is more than we can say for us. Because a lot of these things we can't do anything about. And Jesus made that clear in Matthew 6. Can you add anything to your stature? Can you actually do anything about that? Nope. Can't do it. The truth is, you might be a fairly good planter. But you know, you can be a really good planter and still not produce corn. There's all kinds of things that flow into it. I remember watching, just between here and my house in Grover, I remember watching this farmer, and he planted some corn, and it was beautiful when it came up, and then, man, it was so dry. And that, boy, by the time that corn came up, it was like, that's what Egypt was talking about, the wind-blasted corn that he had to dream of. That must have been what it looked like, because it was horrible. Well, that happened, I think, 2 years in a row, and I thought, that poor guy. And the next year, he planted corn again, and I'm like, okay, well, that year, we got some rain. And I'm telling you, that corn was gorgeous. And I thought, man, I honestly don't think I've ever seen healthier corn. And then we got a windstorm. It destroyed the whole field. It was laying over. The fourth year, the guy planted corn again, coming up. Gorgeous. We got too much rain. And the corn sogged. It just totally, it was too soggy. I'm like, being a farmer would be maddening, right? I mean, I have some friends who live in Missouri, and there is corn, 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 and more corn, and more corn. And they actually have dryers, because the corn, when they harvest it, can only be at a certain wet saturation. And if it's too wet, they load the whole truckload and take it to a dryer. I'm like, man, I need to put my clothes in that. It wouldn't take long to dry that, baby. But I mean, it's this huge dryer, and they pull it in there, and they actually dry the corn. It would drive me crazy. You know what? God's saying, I got all that under control. I know exactly how much rain's needed, how much rain's not needed, all that. That's the point. We make accusations against God, don't we? That He doesn't care. We make accusations that He didn't care about the physical things going into my life. Mark chapter 4 and verse 38, and He was in the hinder part of the ship. Might as well laugh at yourself. You're going to laugh at me anyway, right? Like, Pastor, we're not laughing at you, we're laughing with you. That's good, all right. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they wake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? God, don't you know we're dying here and you're asleep? Yeah, he knew that they were dying, quote unquote, right? They weren't dying. But we make that accusation. God, don't you care? Lord, don't you see what I'm going through here? Yes, he does. We say, don't you care about other people and how they're acting, how they're treating me? Luke chapter 10 and verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come help me. Jesus, don't you even care? We do that too, don't we? You know, the truth is, in the song this morning that Rachel and Isaac sang was, again, an appropriate song. That care was settled at the cross. It was demonstrated at the cross. See, Jesus came into this earth, born perfect, sinless, lived a sinless life, and died on a cross for your sin and for mine. He didn't die on the cross because he had sin. He knew no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. And yet he died there for you and I. And anytime we wonder whether or not Jesus really cares, all we have to do is look to the cross. And he tells us to look to the cross. Have you ever looked to that cross in salvation? And I can tell you, it's pretty simple. Jesus says that we need to admit that we're a sinner. We need to repent of that sin. We need to be tired of living the way we are living, going the direction that I want to go, doing what I want to do. And we need to say, God, I'm tired of living this way. And to change our mind about how we're living. That's what repentance means. And trust him as our Savior and say, Lord, what you did for me on the cross is what I want to claim. What a precious truth it is. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth or demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What an incredible God we have. God's care for you may be demonstrated in a far different way than you think it should. See, so many times when we accuse God of not caring about us, what we're actually saying is, God, you're not caring the way I think you should care. But let me ask you a question. Let's assume this morning that you left this building and on your way home, and we hope that this doesn't happen, but on your way home you get in a vehicle accident. And it's a bad one. And they're going to have to cut you out of that accident. In the process of time, they realize that you've got a major laceration on your leg, and it's actually hit a main artery, and they're going to have to amputate your leg to save your life. Now, I'm going to tell you that most of you probably wouldn't go, you know what, I'd really like to have my leg amputated today. But in the big picture, you may not understand it all, but maybe eventually you figure out, you know what, if they hadn't made that decision, my life would have probably been gone. And what they did for me actually was great care. Sometimes we think, you know what, God, you really don't care. That's because God's not doing what we think he should do in this process. That's when we go back that he is sovereign. He knows what he's doing. He's got it all figured out. It didn't surprise him. He didn't go, oh, man, I forgot about that emergency. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll try to figure out what we're going to do here if you'll give us a few minutes. That didn't happen. He knows exactly what's happening. You're like, well, Pastor, but we have choices in the process, and other people have choices in the process. Yep, and he knows all those too. So he knows exactly what he's doing. Well, that's one of those things that's easier talked about than lived, isn't it? It just is. Are you willing to acknowledge that God does indeed care for you? By the way, when's the last time you thanked Him for His care? Thanked Him for His care. Even the care you didn't think you needed. I mean, that care that you thought, nah. Nope, I don't need that right there. You can care for me some other way. We don't get to make those choices. Are you too proud to let God handle your anxieties and worries? That's the context of the passage. Because when I lay those worries at His feet, when I lay those anxieties at His feet, I'm saying, God, I don't have this ability to handle it. And You're going to have to take it. And I don't understand what to do next, but all I know is I'm going to bring it back to You every time. And every time I pick it back up, I'm going to lay it back down at You. Can you literally take your hands off and allow His hands to be on? There's a story of a young married couple that was headed out west in a wagon train. And one particular passage of road was over some pretty rough mountains. And he was navigating the team. And every time he got into a little bit of a tight place and the wife felt like he wasn't doing quite the job that he should do, she grabbed the reins and tried to help him a little bit. So finally, after three or four times of doing that, he just handed her the reins completely. And she figured out real quick that she didn't want those reins going over that mountain passage. And so she gave them back and said, all right, they're yours. I'm not going to put my hands back on it. You know, for some of us, maybe God's put us in the position we're in because we keep putting our hands on reins that we shouldn't have alone. Maybe He's saying, okay, you want to handle it? Go ahead, handle it. By the way, this casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, this care doesn't mean I have no responsibility whatsoever. The context of verse 8 tells us that. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Lord willing, we'll get to that in 2 weeks. So we do have some responsibility. We let God handle it. Are you willing to do that this morning? It's a simple text. It's a text that most of you probably know by heart. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You probably sing the songs. You could probably hum the tunes. The question is, do you live it? Do you really let Him have control? Completely, totally. Father, I sure need this. Boy, there are times when I just want my hands on it. I like to be in control, and You want to put me in positions where I can't be in control. Thank You for caring for us. Thank You that You not only care, but You have the ability to do something about it, and You knew about that care long before we ever knew about it. Lord, as I said in the message, this is far easier talked about than it is lived. But we pray that Your people will apply it to their hearts and lives. Lord, if there's someone in here who has never cast that burden of sin on you, may they run to the cross today. Realize that You died for them in their place to pay their penalty. May You be pleased. And we love You. Heads bowed and eyes closed, just quietly. Do you have some care this morning that you need to lay at Jesus' feet? He wants to do that. He wants to take it from you. In just a moment, the pianist is going to begin to quietly play. Maybe you just need to come and kneel down here and say, God, this is Yours. I'm going to leave it here. I want You to just handle it and let Him handle it. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, boy, we'd love to show you that. Take that sin burden and roll it away. He wants to do that at the cross. So would you quietly stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed? To my right is Pastor Caleb. If you need something, let him know. You have a burden that's just weighing you down? Would you just let him have it totally and completely? something you need to give him this morning? He wants to take it. I'll let her play through again. Playing that chorus, would you turn to 489 in the red hymn book? I want us to sing that first verse together. Perfect text. Matter of fact, the verse in our hymnal is the verse 1 Peter 5:7. God's so good to even give us this text at this time as we work through the book. Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there life weighed down by care? Come to the cross. Let's sing that together.
Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down
Amen.
By care?
Come to the cross. Lift it now, all your anxiety, all, amen. Amen.
Aren't you glad he's our friend and cares more than any of us can possibly imagine? What precious truths that is to us.